Let's be real. Life happens. Kids spill. Pets shed. And accidents are inevitable. Find a sofa that can keep up at washablesofas.com. Starting at just $699, our sofas are fully machine washable inside and out, so you can say goodbye to stains and hello to worry-free living. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, they're kid-proof, pet-friendly, and built for everyday life. Plus, changeable fabric covers let you refresh your sofa whenever you want. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa anytime to fit your space, whether it's a growing family room or a cozy apartment. Plus, they're earth-friendly and trusted by over 200,000 happy customers. It's time to upgrade to a stress-free, mess-proof sofa. Visit washablesofas.com today and save. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Ukraine crisis. Natan Sharansky, born a Russian national, now an Israeli citizen, speaking not only of Vladimir Putin and his threats to NATO, to everyone, if and when, but also speaking to the Israeli government that is surprisingly on the fence. It's now 6 weeks into the Ukraine conflict. Josh Rogan of the Global Opinions column at The Washington Post, a conversation with Natan Sharansky. Josh, a very good evening to you. Mr. Sharansky knows everything about risk and liberty. After all, he's part of the refuseniks that transformed the landscape for the people of Russia once upon a time, contributing to the exit from the boot of the Soviet Union. What is his recommendation in dealing with the threats from the Kremlin, and especially from Mr. Putin, that if and when he will use nuclear weapons? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Natan Sharansky understands Putin. He understands the KGB. He understands how the machinery works. And his very simple point is that the West, and he's singled out the Israeli government in particular, is being too cautious, too risk averse, and is falling for Putin's long held tactic, which is to threaten escalation to paralyze his adversaries to get what he wants. And Natan Sharansky is not arguing that there's no cost for Israel or other countries to stand against Putin and to do the things that will result in Putin actually losing the war. But he argues that the stakes are so high that as free people in open societies, we have no choice, that we have to make sacrifices in order to help Ukrainians defend their land and win the war. And so he advocates for giving them the arms and weapons and economic and humanitarian and diplomatic support that they're begging for. And, I wrote a column about this because I agree with him. And, you know, I've been talking to Israeli officials this whole time, and their explanations for Israel's semi-neutral stance are understandable. They say that Israel is playing an intermediary role between Russia and Ukraine. And they say that Israel has interests in Syria that depend on Russian cooperation, such as killing Iranians. And that's all well and good. But what Natan Sharansky is arguing, what I agree with, is that those are not as important as saving Ukraine and, in doing so, protecting the rest of the free world.
So Mr. Sharansky says call Putin's bluff. He makes threats about what weapon systems can and cannot be passed on to the Ukrainians. And he says, Mr. Sharansky says, give them what they ask for, correct?
Right. The quote is this constant fear that if we cross this line or that by providing this weapon or that weapon, that it will irritate Putin too much and he will escalate. It's simply wrong. He's saying that we're telling ourselves a story about an escalation ladder that Putin doesn't care about. And that really the only thing that matters on the battlefield is whether or not the Ukrainians are able to defend their land and push the Russians out. And all of the rest is just us negotiating against ourselves. And again, you have to look at this last 48 days of warfare and conclude that he's correct, because despite the West's incremental and certainly increasing support for Ukraine, we have yet to give them the things that they're demanding, such as air defense, advanced air defenses, anti-ship weapons, etc. And, you know, time is running out, and we're in a period where Putin is preparing for phase two of his assault. And, if his tactics and strategies are changing, ours have to as well. And I think Sharansky is sounding the alarm that the Israeli government's position is not only morally untenable, but also national security and strategically unwise.
Naftali Bennett's government now itself balanced on a knife's edge because of events in these last days, 60-60 in the Knesset. They're on holiday. When they come back, Sharansky may or may not be prime minister. However, Sharansky's government is holding back. And I heard the explanations about Syria and working with the Russians. That was early in the conflict. But the map changed when we saw the revelations of Bucha and Irpin and Hostomel and other cities we can imagine are in similar shape. In addition, the reduction of Mariupol, deliberately targeting civilians. Josh, Bennett and the IDF know about these matters because they know what's going on in Syria. This is the Russian style of war. And the Israelis know what's ahead, which is horror. So holding back is just, what is it, a stalling tactic? What's your sense of it?
You know, the Bennett government has been risk averse for a number of reasons, one of which you just mentioned is that they're going through their own domestic political crisis right now. And the last thing they need to do is to get deeply involved in another conflict. I get that. It's a small country with enemies on all sides. You know, at the same time, when you think of the country that was literally born out of the horror of the Holocaust, and this is the point that President Zelensky made when he scolded the Knesset last month, if you just think about that legacy and the promise of never again, it would seem like that country, Israel, which I support and love, should do more, should stand up against mass atrocities. And the war will go on for a long time. The mass atrocities will only pile up. And eventually, Israelis and whatever government emerges from this crisis will have to make a decision whether or not to stand against them or to turn away. I hope they'll make the right choice.
The Russians are threatening everyone. Everyone. They threaten everybody who voted against them at the UN, I'm told, Josh. They threat. But from what the reporting I've managed from Ukraine, from correspondents in there, their conduct of this war is as marauders, not as an army. They're conducting themselves from the leading officer class to the junior officer class to the conscript. They're conducting themselves as pirates, as thieves, as cutthroats. Surely that is an argument that the Israeli public is aware of. Surely the Israeli public does not mean to be neutral in this matter. Do they use the word neutral?
You know, it's clear from polls that the Israeli public overwhelmingly supports Ukraine. At the same time, the support there is not as robust for Israel becoming more deeply involved. Again, considering what's going on in Israel, which we should acknowledge is undergoing a wave of ISIS terror attacks right now, killing civilians for no reason. At the same time, I get why that Israeli people might not want another or two more fights on their hands at the same time. Nevertheless, this is coming. If Ukraine falls, and this is the argument that the Ukrainians and Sharansky and others make, if Ukraine falls, Russia will expand the war for sure. And the best way to make sure that doesn't happen is to stop Putin in Ukraine, where there's 44 million people who are willing to die fighting against him. And, you know, it's not just about the war. We've got an economic crisis. We've got an inflation crisis. We've got an energy crisis. We're going to have an agricultural and food crisis. All of these things affect Israel. So, you know, building up, standing behind some walls and hiding under some fake neutrality will not actually protect Israelis, nor will it protect any of us. This is why the argument to do more, though difficult and impossible and not totally risk neutral, is really, really important. And I think that's the point that the Ukrainians and Zelensky and I are hoping to argue.
I don't think they're asking for the Golani Brigade, correct, Josh? They're asking for intelligence and cooperation. Is that correct?
Yeah, people is the one thing they have. Every Ukrainian is fighting or fleeing. The women and children, some of them are fleeing. Some women are fighting. All the men are fighting. The last thing they need is our troops. What they need is everything else, from the body armor to the defensive weapons to the offensive weapons. And, you know, it's going to have to be a sustained effort. And then humanitarian aid and first responder aid and economic support and financial support. And the time is of the essence. And, you know, it doesn't really matter what Putin says are his excuses or what he threatens to do. We just have to watch his actions, as his actions are that he only backs up when confronted. And the international community should learn that lesson, hopefully sooner rather than later.
Josh Rogan, is a columnist at the Washington Post. He writes global opinions. His conversation with Natan Sharansky. Josh ends his column with a quote from Elie Wiesel. We must always take sides. Neutrality helps the oppressor, never the victim. I'm John Bash.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Life's messy. We're talking spills, stains, pets, and kids. But with Anabay, you never have to stress about messes again. At washablesofas.com, discover Anabay sofas, the only fully machine washable sofas inside and out, starting at just $699. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Upgrade your space today. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.